And I volunteered to do it. And when it dawned on me, as it dawned fairly quickly, that nobody on the ship was actually listening to what I was doing, and indeed neither any of the people at the Radio London office in London, in Curzon Street, I dispensed with the format entirely. I stopped doing running the ads and things and reading the weather and eventually abandoned the news as well and started playing all of these records, you know. And it wasn't until, actually, also legend has it, I mean, I don't know if this is actually true or not, but apparently Brian Epstein phoned Radio London and said, hey, what a great idea. You know, they sort of like, what idea? And knew nothing of it. And they switched on and to a program one night and I was absolutely horrified because I was doing all this sort of peace and love and stuff, you know, which, of course, at the time, I believed, I still do believe in a way, you know. But I mean, I was getting, like, 10 times as much mail as the rest of them put together. But from all over Europe, you know, because there was so much interest in all of this.
Now, Ruby is actually a magic record. It's one of those things that you look at it on the turntable and actually expecting it to drift away and disappear. But it's so beautiful. There's so much to that. And I went out during that record, have a look at the night, which incidentally is very beautiful. So, if you're anywhere near the window there, look at it and breathe and perhaps yell, I love you, into the night again.
Yes, it sounds like a heavily perfumed John Peel. The Perfume Garden was an exercise in escapism. Maybe all the best creative radio is, and certainly the pirate DJs had plenty to escape from. As Kenny Everett found, a shared cabin tossing about on the North Sea wasn't the most comfortable environment.
It was very dingy, actually. The boat itself was an old minesweeper, and to look at it, you'd think it was on its way delivering dust somewhere and garbage, because it wasn't painted for about a year and a half after it came into service. It still had a few gun emplacements attached to the deck, and somebody had bolted this transmitter as a sort of an afterthought.
But the biggest problem for the DJs wasn't the cramped cabins or the weather, it was boredom.
We were so low on things to do, and we couldn't walk in one direction on the boats for more than about 37 seconds before falling over the edge somewhere. You couldn't go to a restaurant, you couldn't have a decent shower, because the thing was moving around, you know, you'd turn it on and the water would dash against the left-hand wall of the shower, and you'd go over there and it would move over to the right, and you'd think, oh, blow this, and you'd just stay dirty for 2 weeks. Tatty quarters and dreadful food, it was just the worst thing. We were eventually sent off for about 400 TV dinners, and we existed on those for a couple of years.
We all had girls' names, funnily enough. We were all given girls' names. It might sound weird, but it kept us a bit sane. You had to do these mad things. I was known as Bessie Blackburn. Kenny Everett was known as Edith Everett. Tony Windsor was known as his Mother Superior. Except that when the press came out and we were sitting around a table, I would say, would you mind passing the potatoes? And, of course, the press would look at us like that and think, what on earth's going on? To us, it was just natural.
Most of the time, we were all united in our hostility towards Tony Blackburn, poor fella. Kenny Everett was on there as well in the days when he used to be quite amusing. And he and I spent a great deal of time discussing Tony Blackburn and his ultimate downfall, which was very unkind of us. But most of the time, you know, we all kept ourselves pretty much to ourselves because it was a very small ship, and I think we used to get on each other's nerves a great deal. I used to devote whole nights to sitting in the main room where they had the television, where we ate our meals, practicing throwing pieces of paper across the table to fire under the room into the waste paper basket, which was out of sight, so that I could do it during meals. Nobody would be very impressed.
DJs are not people. Ever eaten your blend? Now, they're the very strange breed, DJs. Pete Brady, Dave Cash, Ed Stewart. They're not people that you would mix with in that amount at any one time, voluntarily, you know? And one at a time, but all at once, it was a bit daunting. And I'd just come fresh from Liverpool, so it was, you know, everyone was walking around going, hey, man, this is really out of sight. I thought, out of sight? What do they mean? Aren't their eyes working properly or something? Why are they popping their fingers all the time? And finally, it was a groovy thing to do. We didn't know about groovy because we'd only had the BBC up to then.
That was Kenny Everett explaining life aboard the radio ships in the mid-60s. We'll have part three, actually, of that BBC History of Offshore Radio for you next week, and that'll be the final episode, well worth hearing. Back up to date, but still on the offshore theme, Tony Clark of Radio Ireland Shortwave was on to me during the week with some interesting information about Radio Laser. This is one of the two stations operating off the east coast of England at the moment, the other, of course, being Radio Caroline. And it's one which a lot of people don't know about. Radio Netherland, which is the Dutch international service in shortwave, first announced to the world on December the 1st last that Caroline was to have competition from Laser, which is based on board the MV Communicator, an ex-US research vessel formerly registered as the Seeker. The ship was fitted out in Spain and was anchored in the Thames estuary around Christmas time, and the idea then was to commence test transmissions on 730 kHz. The tests, however, proved unsuccessful, and a new aerial system was erected in January in a further attempt to get the £1.2 million American-backed station on the air. It was due to open on Thursday the 5th of January, but its frequency was judged to be too close to BBC Radio 4, and the British Home Office threatened to jam the station if it stayed on that channel. Since then, it has been on and off the air with more technical trouble. But the latest word is that last week they strung up a new aerial on board the ship and changed frequency to 558 kilohertz, which is right down beside RTE Radio 1. Now, they did broadcast one or two test transmissions late last week, late in the night, and I believe that one or two of them could have been heard in Dublin. So if you want to give a chance to listening to that, I was listening to Britain Radio International on the shortwave bands this morning on 6225 kilohertz, and they announced that Laser's tests have proved very successful throughout the whole of Britain, and that they will be opening any day this week. It could possibly be tomorrow, or if not, they'll be definitely on the air by the end of the week on 558 kilohertz, sort of 24-hour-a-day operation. So if you're into staying up late at night when RTE closed down during this week, have a go on 558 and see if you can pick up Radio Laser. If you're not too keen on staying up late and being late for work or school or what the next morning, Radio Caroline powers into Dublin on 963 kilohertz from about 10 p.m. onwards, and it's well worth listening to. They're broadcasting from 20 miles off the east coast of Essex in the North Sea, which is in international waters, and they're operating on board the MV Ross Revenge with a power output of 50 kilowatts. Caroline theme tune, which goes back to 1967, I believe. That's from The Fortunes. Just caught on the phone there, I was talking to somebody. So if you're listening on the phone, hang on, I'll be back to you in a second. Anyway, if you want to write to the ship, incidentally, they announce an American address on the air, but there is a new, quicker way of getting through to them. You can now write through Radio Caroline shortwave. Now, this was a station which was a temporary, once-monthly service for Caroline listeners, run by Freddie Archer on the 49-metre band to keep Caroline fans throughout Europe in touch while the ship was off the air. Now, Freddie was on 6312 kilohertz on Sunday the 29th of April last for a test transmission when he announced that he would pass on any letters to the ship sent to his address in England. So if you want to drop them a line and save yourself the postage cost of posting all the way to New York, the new mailing address that you can send to Radio Caroline from is P.O. Box number 1, Brandon, Suffolk in England. I'll give that to you once again. It's P.O. Box number 1, Brandon, Suffolk in England, and if you send it off to that address, Freddie Archer will do the rest and send the letters out to the ship. This is a nice single from Auto da Fe, originally done by Jean Pitney back at the talent on the radio every once in a while. That's amazing stuff from Auto da Fe, Gay Woods doing her thing on that one. I thought Something's Gotten Hold of My Heart. Incidentally, if you ever get a chance to see Auto da Fe live, well, don't miss it, they really are well worth seeing. I saw them late last year at one of the RTE Radio 2 Lark in the Park things, and really excellent, well worth going along to. Bell on 10:35 a.m. 92 and 98.3 FM. Jared Rowe and the Free Radio campaign through until 3 o'clock, and it's just gone 2:30, and we're going to go into a little feature here on Radio Luxembourg. Now, Radio Luxembourg is probably the world's best known and most popular radio station. I don't think there's anybody in all of Europe that hasn't tuned to the great 208 at some stage or other in their lives. And while we in Ireland have a wide-ranging choice of radio listenership at the moment, back in the dark ages before the pioneering pirates, Luxy was the only station in Europe to cater for young people's interests. And for the now middle-aged population of Europe, it was the only source of musical entertainment through depression and war. On Sunday, January the 15th last, Luxembourg celebrated 50 years on the air, and on Wednesday the 2nd of May, Gay Byrne presented his RTE mid-morning programme from the Grand Duchy, where he interviewed Bob Stewart.
All right, welcome back to the GB show, coming to you this morning from Luxembourg, and I'm still with Bob Stewart. You had to, in the course of your 50 years, not that you're with them 50 years, Bob, but in the course of 50 years of broadcasting, they had to really swing around with the pop changes in fashion, did they not? They did that very cleverly.
Certainly they did. In fact, if we go right back to the early days, the 1930s, Gay, broadcasting in Europe, and I don't know about Ireland, I really have no idea whether Radio Telefusarium was operating at that time or not.
Well, the old Radio Erin was, but not RTE as it now is.
I remember as a kid, Radio Athlone.
That's right, that would have been it, yeah, sure.
Okay, well, if we go back to the 30s, we found that basically the way it went was like this. The BBC, or 2LO, I think it was before BBC, but around about the 30s, I think it had actually got to the BBC. And they were broadcasting on weekends, a lot of classical music and religious type stuff, very serious type music. And the English language service of Radio Luxembourg only broadcast during the weekends at that time, daytime, on 1293 long wave. And the way that Luxembourg's train of thought was then is the way it's been since. They would be playing Rudy Valley and Bing Crosby and the rock and rollers and punk rockers of the time, as it were, when stations over in Britain were being a little more serious. And this is the way that they garnered the side of the audience that, you know, made up the majority. Since then, they broadcast right the way through until 1940. At the time that the war broke out in the end of, I think it was September 39, war broke out. 1940, the station was taken over by the occupying German forces, and it became a propaganda station with the huge transmitters that they have here, 1,300,000 watts, it blanket covers Europe. And certainly at that time, it would have been well listened to. There was no stereo FM or the competition that we see today. And the Germans used it through until 1945, when the city of Luxembourg was liberated by General Patton. And at that time, it became an AFN outlet for a period of 6 months, with American Forces Network broadcasting from here. In, I believe, 1940, late 47, early 48, they started English transmissions again. And the job of general manager was given to one of the first British five in Luxembourg. Not because he was one of the first British soldiers, I don't think, but they asked him would he like the job when he got out of the forces, and as he was due to demob at that time, he did. His name was Geoffrey Everett.
Geoffrey Everett, yeah.
He became one of the well-known disc jockeys.
That's right.
Teddy Johnson was one of the first DJs to come along after the war, and of course they had hidden all of the records, the pre-war records, and that was what they started at. Music. Teddy Johnson would do programs under three different names. Teddy Johnson, and if you remember way back then, it was Tuesday night would be like Irish requests, and Wednesday was Scottish requests and Welsh requests, and so on and so forth. Teddy would broadcast as Teddy Johnson, E. Victor Johnson, and what was the other one? I guess it was Victor E. Johnson. And he would go from one show to the next and just simply announce. And people were gullible enough to think that this was three different people. No, they were happy enough.
Nice. It must have made some money down through the years.
Oh, I'm sure. The audience in the 50s, Gay, for Radio Luxembourg's 208 service was something around 25 million people a night. Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind that the outlet for popular music at the time was only Luxembourg, as far as Britain
was
concerned.
That's right. And as far as Ireland was concerned.
Was it?
Our home station was a little perhaps on the Rethian lines of the BBC. Yeah. And we played very respectable stuff most of the time. And so for several generations of Irish teenagers, this is what they tuned to, and this is where they were getting what they wanted to hear, the stuff that we're hearing this morning and so on. But you fainted, the station very cleverly fainted and weaved and ducked and changed with the changing fashion. What is the policy now of Radio Luxembourg? Have you reverted to middle-of-the-road stuff to a great
extent? Oh, lordy, no.
No.
In fact, it's just to go for the hits. The records that people have put at the top of the charts, the ones that they are saying are the most popular, they're the ones we go for, and then we back it up with a selection of oldies and mellow it out along the way in that direction. But we have recently, as of January 1st, we've stopped doing specialized programs, so there's no longer any country music, any new wave music as a separate entity.
Mm. So, well, several people are on the phone asking us, could we bring them one of the ident stings for Radio Luxembourg, and here's one which is in current use. Doesn't change much down through the years, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Same old thing. Now, what is this problem you have about a live landline from London, and which you cannot get, and therefore, I understand you can't get live broadcasting from London through here?
That's true. And it dates, I must admit, the current politics on the situation are totally changed now. Literally in the last couple of months, it's solved itself. If we go back to the 1930s, Luxembourg had decided that it would broadcast with a power which was greater than that authorized. And the British government looked at it and decided, therefore, that it was a pirate station, to use today's phraseology. Yeah. Strangely enough, at the outbreak of war, the relationship became a lot more friendly when the British government wanted to
use it.
Right. But right up until the end of last year, it was looked upon as an unauthorized station, shall we say, in one technical way. You could never say this about Luxembourg, for crying out loud. It's been here for eons, and everybody knows it's there. But the bureaucracy insisted that it could not have a live transmission from the United Kingdom. It didn't have a landline right up until the end of last year.
And what happened last year?
I believe that they've changed their minds.
And you are now going to start broadcasting from London, are you?
That's another kettle of fish altogether.
I see. That has not been clarified as yet.
No, the staff here are clamoring for the idea, but the management are saying, whoa, because that's the way management do things.
That is called that old time rock and roll, and it's true what he says, they don't make records like they used to. We're going to give you a little feature now on Radio Carousel. Last Sunday, I forgot to mention it because I was up to the ears trying to put out all sorts of other stuff, but they were 6 years old last Sunday. It's the second longest pirate radio station, second longest on the air in the country. It's second only to Radio Dublin, started up in around about 1978, I think it was, if the maths is right. Anyway, they celebrated their sixth birthday last Sunday, and I haven't yet got a tape of that. I hope to have that fairly soon. If Kieran Murray up in Radio Carousel is listening this afternoon, Kieran, I'll be on to you to get some recordings of the celebrations. But anyway, here's how Hugh Hardy and the crew celebrated their fifth birthday on the air last year.
All right, then, it's a piece of music there called Hooked on Country. And just in case, again, you might have joined us late, it is Country Call, but not so much the country, more the call. Radio Carousel celebrating its fifth birthday today. And right now, all around us here in the studio, we have indeed everybody with their bottles of champagnes almost ready. And we're going to break open the bottle of champagne, and it's all set to go. Not quite ready. Go on, just start here, please. And pass them over here to me. And everybody, we'll all sing together. All right. Don't forget to save a little bit. Don't forget to save a bit of that. Hey, don't forget to save a bit for me. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you. All right. Okay. So to Radio Carousel we say, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Carousel, happy birthday to you.
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Hip hip
hooray! Now we'll get back to music, and after we have a sup of champagne, we're going to talk to some more of the Carousel personalities.
Ooh, feels good in a special way. To think about the good things that happen every day.
A new music makes you feel like promises are real. Radio Carousel. Radio Annabelle.
And going and things like that. There are only three copies of this thing around. I have the original copy. I also have a second copy. And Kieran Murray up in Radio Carousel Navan has the only copy that is outside of my possession. And we're giving away one more. So if you'd like to win yourself that, you can drop me a line with the answer to this little thing that we're going to give you now. We're going to play three well-known radio voices. Two of them pirate, and the other on the other side of the fence, if you know what I mean. And if you can identify the three people concerned, you can drop me a line. Gerald Rowe, care of Radio Annabelle, the Ivy Rooms Hotel, Parnell Street, Dublin 1. And you can stand to win yourself this script, one of only four copies in existence at the moment. So here are the three voices. See if you can figure any of them out at all.
Cancel this day. Next week. Goodbye, Captain. You're listening to the IA2 Hop.
760-860-760-860. If you have a small portable stereo record player you want to sell, contact Mary O'Brien.
You had to, in the course of your 50 years, not that you were within 50 years, Bob, but in the course of 50 years of broadcasting, they had to really swing around with the pop changes in fashion, did they not? They did that very cleverly.
Talk on Annabelle and Glasgow North Community combined on 10:25 a.m. and 11:25 a.m. on 38 and 32 VHS. That's Cindy Lauper and her first major single this side of the Atlantic called Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Before that, our quick dating competition, we'll be giving you another blast of that before the prog is out. Three voices we want you to identify them, all with very strong radio connections, and you can stand yourself with winning a complete review of 1983 Radio Wise if you get that question right. Just hang on a sec, somebody ring on the phone, hold on. Ah, somebody's got it for me. It's not that marvellous. Right, we had a call in a couple of seconds ago from Finbar in Beaumont, and Finbar requested a recording of the soundtrack of the Nova television thing, which we put out a small little bit of. I have a few more bits of that at home. So Finbar, I haven't got it with me this week, but we'll get that out for you next week. I'll make a note of that, and we'll put out some of Nova's television test transmissions for you to have a listen to next Sunday. Somebody bumped into me during the week who was involved in Big D Radio in the past and said he liked very much the quick little recording we played of Steve Rhodes' Yes No quiz. We played the first ever person ever to win his quiz on Big D Radio, and he said he'd like to hear some more. So I dug up a nice little bit. This is how not to play the game.
Now that means it's time now for the second round in our Yes No competition. As already mentioned, it has not yet been won on Big D Radio. Standing by the telephone line with a young gentleman from Dunnycarney by the name of Kenneth Cyril, and Ken is going to give this round a bash one way or the other. In the 1 minute conversation I'll be having with Ken, he must not use the words yeah, yes, or no, and he must not take longer than 3 seconds to answer any of the questions that I put to him. If Ken gets through the 1 minute conversation, our prize fund, which is now standing at £8, are sponsored by Shylock's Hair Design Centre. Well, that prize fund will be all his. Okay, well, let's go right over to Dunnycarney, and the time of our 1 minute conversation starts right now.
Hello, Ken, you there?
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, no.
And that's one from him, that's the Langol called Sweet Surrender. It's 9 minutes to 6 o'clock, just about time to get out one more recording. What we're going to do now is we're going to go over to London, and this is a recording of one of London's most consistent VHF pirate stations. It's the one that pioneered pirate broadcasting on VHF in London. They used to broadcast from all sorts of strange locations, tops of blocks of flats and gas cylinders and everything. Thameside Radio is the name of the station, and we're going to play a quick blast of a recording that was made a week after they'd just come back on the air following a post office raid.
Good evening and welcome to 90.2 MHz VHF, the home of Thameside Radio. We wish to apologise to listeners for a temporary break in transmission during last week's programme. This was due to heavy local interference. However, you may be pleased to hear that we are back on the air this week as usual.
Yes, and a very good evening to you, and welcome to Thameside Radio. Well, we've managed to get 1 minute out so far. I hope people get a lot more out before the 3 hours are up. Yeah, last week, actually, if you're listening, we had to go off early. Not due to our fault, but because the authorities decided to whip our transmitter. The writers, they've got it. And we'll give full details of how they whipped it, and how we're back on the air, and things like that, later on. So if you want to hear all about why we went off early last week, attitude change, and I'll fill you in with all the details. Later on, we have part two of Norman, the most boring man in the world, and also Tony Lloyd will be playing the part one of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a new LP that is out that is absolutely fantastic and totally mind-blowing. All that and a whole lot more in the next 3 hours. That's if we manage to get 3 hours out this week. We start off with The Buggles and The Plastic Age. To be released.
And now on Plumside, the latest music news.
We've had coloured vinyl, oddly shaped records, even smelly records. And now comes the latest gimmick. It's the world's largest record, a 10,000 limited edition of the Fabulous Poodles' third album, Think Pink, in a giant sleeve measuring 24 times 24 inches, or four times the normal size of a normal LP cover.
Plumside Radio.
And we've managed to get out 7 minutes so far of the programme. I think it adds a new dimension, really, doesn't it? Waiting for the transmitter to be pinched each week. I wonder how many records we'll be able to play this week. We did quite well last week. 2 hours, 40 minutes. We'll see how well we do this week. Anthony Osterwell of Wembley Park wrote in. He said, could you please play either Planet Care by the B-52s, or something else that I'm not playing, for John, Adrian and Andrew. My pleasure.
That's a recording of Thameside Radio, recorded in 1981. If you're over in London, I don't know whether they're still running or not. They have these phases of sort of getting fed up with the thing and not wanting to take the risk. But 90.2 megahertz is where you get them at about 3 o'clock on a Sunday. Just before I head off, give you another quick blast of the competition.
Until this day. Next week, goodbye, Carter. You're listening to the IHU Hop.
760-860. 760-860. If you have a small portable stereo record player you want to sell, contact Mary O'Brien.
You had to, in the course of your 50 years, not that you're over 50 years, Bob, but in the course of 50 years of broadcasting, they had to really swing around with the pop changes in fashion, did they not? They did that very cleverly.
There you go. If you can identify those three voices, two pirates and one legal radio presenter, drop a line to me, Gerard Rowe, care of the Ivory Rooms Hotel, Parnell Street in Dublin 1, and you could stand a chance of winning yourself a radio review of 1983. The original script was used on the Free Radio Campaign programme on New Year's Day on Radio Dublin. Until next week, stand by for Bobby Harris. He's up next. I'll see you again on Sunday. If you're listening on Glasnevin North Community, we'll head you over to your own programming there. And Bobby continues here on Annabelle, 10:35 a.m. and 98 and 92 FM. I'm leaving you with OMD. Goodbye, good luck, good listening.
That's 746-374. Our manager, Noel Murray, and his staff will be only too delighted to help you plan and arrange your party. Remember, the Ivy Rooms, adding that special touch of magic to that special occasion.
Take what you need, but
Cassettes, it's really quite simple. All you need to remember is BASF. BASF actually pioneered cassette tape and have led the way in technology ever since.
Oh.
That's why BASF is the most widely used tape in professional recording studios, where sound quality is all important. So next time, don't say blank. Say BASF.
It's obviously all I need to know about cassette tape.
Well, I like bachelor's beans myself, and they're very tasty, and the children love them, so I think they're the best.
I like to eat beans with sausages, and I like to eat beans with toast.
You can have beans and porky.
Yeah, sometimes I eat them with chips.
I eat tons of them. I like them because two little men on the tin, Barney and Beanie.
It's what you do, it's the way that you do it, and bachelors do it best.
Yeah. Dermot's Hair Studios offer a professional unisex service in their modern premises at Doyle's Corner, Phibsborough. Special offers this week include body waves and colouring. Open 6 days a week with late opening Thursday and Friday.
Order your Maxall home heat oil today from your local Maxall distributor or phone Dublin 775-641. That's 775-641.